So how did you come up with Code Nash? Like, what was your first step?
Oh, the original idea.
Just create like a whole organization, right?
Yeah, yeah. So the original idea was like way stupider than what we have now. It was a Windows Surface application, and the idea was that the reason that it's called Code Naturally is that we were going to make an app where students could handwrite code, and the app would convert the code to text and then run it. So that way, like, you know, like,
okay.
Yeah.
The idea was that, like, there's a ton of research that shows that writing by hand helps to...
With memory and all
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Helps with your memory. Faster. You learn way faster. You retain more. Yeah, muscle not, memory. You slow down, right? That's right. The main thing that it's providing for you, that you slow down. And so we thought that, like, if students could...
Handwrite it out.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It was a really like dumb hypothesis, right? But like we spoke to researchers like around the world, and they're like they did like, agree. They were like handwriting could help. Like you should totally, you know, like it could help. And so we thought that would be the perfect thing for like first graders to third graders. Mm-hmm. We were thinking way younger age range, like kids that aren't typing yet, you know?
And then that.
And so well, no, I mean like we built the app. So we entered that into a business design competition. And we got like third place and won $2,000 in that competition. And we used all of that money to incorporate, which was the stupidest thing we could have done. Because
and by incorporate, you mean like turn yourself into an official...
Official corporation. Yeah, yeah. We did that in July of 2015. And instantly it meant that we had to start paying taxes, even though we...
You had no profits, right?
We had no revenue profits. Yeah. Like, you know, we had nothing to sell. We just had something on paper, right?
Yeah, concept and app.
And so... We built out that app, and we had a mentor that worked at Microsoft, and so we got to borrow 10 Windows Surfaces to do testing with the app. And Alfie, my CTO, actually like got it to work. He like got it where you could like handwrite your text. You could handwrite, it would convert it to text, and then it would run it, and it would all work.
But you would have to know what to write down, right?
Yeah, of course. It was like really basic commands. Okay. And so we had those like outlined already.
Okay.
And so those were all of those existed within another programming language that we were using. Called processing, which is like within Java or JavaScript, right? And so that already existed. It was just really like getting it to the handwriting to text and then to run it all. Yeah. And it worked perfectly for the most part. It's kind of, you know, obviously it was an MVP. But we took it to Brancaforte Middle School because at that time I was volunteering as an AVID tutor with Kathy Sandage. She was short a few AVID tutors at the time, and we had met, and I offered to volunteer. And as she learned more about what we did, she invited us to come work with her students. Mm-hmm. And so at lunch, I brought all 10 of the Surfaces. Kids would stay in at lunch, and they would, like, come and test with us. And they were just, like, brutally honest. They already had, like, we already had a relationship because I had been tutoring them for about a month or two, so they were pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had no reason to be shy. And they were like, this sucks. Like, there were so many things that they were like, I hate how slow this is, but... They liked programming. Like, they liked being able to make stuff with a couple lines of code. Like, that was of interest to them. And it was the first time that, like, the majority of them were doing it. And so they were like, this is, you know, exactly. Right. But they liked it enough. Yeah. But most of them preferred typing over writing. Yeah. They were like, I hate handwriting. Like,
and
I
can how type. Long ago was this?
That was 2016.
Okay, well, so it wasn't too long. Everyone's kind of moving towards the digital age at that point, right?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
They all know. They all know their way around.
They all have Chromebooks. They want to
type, they want
to use it. Yeah, exactly. They were already used to it. And so we got an article, I think, on City on a Hill in Santa Cruz Tech Beat at that time. And then Brooknell Elementary reached out to us. And we started going to Kathy Peterson's class, two Kathys, both fantastic people. And we started working with her elementary class. Mm-hmm. It was a class of fourth graders. And so we were able to go in every day for 20 weeks, I think, just about.
Wow. Wow.
And we would go in every week. And that's when I started realizing that I had to create curriculum. Because I had to go in every day. And these kids were learning so much faster than I could have ever anticipated.
Wow.
Like, they learned... So yeah, like, it was insane. Like, originally, when we first started doing testing, I thought I had 5 weeks of curriculum that I had written. And, like, it looked like it would have been fine. Those kids crushed all of that within, I think, like, 5 to 7 days.
Wow. That's awesome.
And so, like, every night that I had to go back, I was literally at home putting together the next lesson for them. And that led to, like, our first set of, like, you know, worksheets and project outlines and all of that stuff. It was really just because I had to do it for those kids.
Yeah.
And they were really demanding. And so, you know, wasn't really going to be able to say no. But as we started doing testing there, we released a web application instead of like a Surface application on like our second iteration, and we made it optional so you could write or type. And as we started doing testing at Brook Knoll, the other 20 students, because we only had 10 services, the other 20 students just started getting the URL and just going on their Chromebooks and just started programming like on their own, because like they didn't care about the handwriting, they cared about just being able to make stuff. And that was like their main concern. They're like, how am I going to go do that? Because that's all I care about. And so as more and more of them started doing that, we just started kind of phasing out handwriting and started focusing on like, how can we allow them to continue learning through their creativity? Like, how can we get them to like have ideas and then teach them stuff based on those ideas? Like, how could we get them to want to do something and then teach it to them afterwards? Because it's like, that's so much easier. You know, like, just like a motivation kind of like, you know, if I can show you how cool this really can be, like you're going to be so pumped. And so we realized that like, just by giving them small examples, we could do that. Whether it was an example of an animation or a paint project, if we showed them that it was possible, there was going to be buy-in.
And they were inspired by it,
Did they kind of drive the curriculum at all?
They entirely drove the curriculum. It was so much of like, I want to know how to do this. And it was like, okay, let me go figure out exactly how I can communicate that to you in words that you're going to understand.
Yeah.